Daryl Blank from Springdale, Ohio, and this is Recapturing a Vision for Your Community. There, we got that out of the way. Thanks for being here, guys. I appreciate it. Nothing like being the person that has to speak after lunch and after a long morning. So we want to welcome Dr. David Graves. He's back in the back, and his wife Sharon. So welcome them to our group today. They did a wonderful job. He did a wonderful job last night. Fantastic. It was a great challenge. So as JJ was just saying, this workshop is about transgender bathrooms in the church. So if you're not in the right spot, then you need to move somewhere else. But we're going to be discussing ways to reach out to our community. And JJ and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, and he had a conversation with his board. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they had a talk about how they were going to connect with their community. And JJ, what's the name of your church?
Northwest Church of
the Nazareth in Columbus, yep. And they were talking about reaching their community, and the quote from one of the board members was, tell me if I got this wrong, we don't even know who our community is.
That's right. Yep.
And maybe that's how you feel. Maybe you don't know who your community is, or maybe you have leaders that you're trying to inspire who are struggling just as, you know, you talk about reaching the community, but if you don't know who they are, then where do you start, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let me share a little bit where I've come from. My first church was Bad Axe, Michigan. It's in the thumb. And yes, I was the Bad Axe pastor, and I told everybody that I was the Bad Axe pastor. And I was there for 3 years, 3.5 years. From there, I went to Flint, Michigan. Bad Axe was a little community, and the way we reached the community, it was a small community. The way we reached them was just the neighborhood. We concentrated just on the neighborhood, not the entire community. There were lots and lots of churches there and a small little town, but our neighborhood is what we tried to concentrate on. From there, I went to East Flint in Flint, Michigan, and that was a little larger area, and so we concentrated on the schools, and we were known just as the ones that reached out to the schools in various ways, and I'm going to let some of you talk in a few moments. Some of you have some ideas about how to do that. From there, we went down south to Goodlettsville, Tennessee, Nashville, just north of Nashville, and while we were there, we followed a pastor that had a moral break, and so the church was very they were focused inwardly and struggled a whole lot, and they needed to be. They needed some healing, and they needed God to just come in and minister to them for a little while. And God did that for us, and He did that over a period of probably 3 years. And then we started reaching out, and the way we did it there was in the business community. And I joined the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you. And I was on there for just a short period of time. I became the vice president of the Chamber of Commerce. And from there, I was the incoming president of the Chamber of Commerce before God called me to Springdale. And so it was through the business community that we did outreach like Vacation Bible School. They were helping us promote all of that. It became a community kind of a thing. Parades. We had 2 parades a year, and so they would invite us to be part of that. We gave to the police department, things like that. Halloween, we had a business thing that took place in the local park where all the businesses set up tables, and people just came through. Thousands of people came through, got their candy, but the businesses were all there, and so our church was very much part of that. So we kind of concentrated then on the community. So then 3.5 years ago, I went to Springdale, and Springdale was a church that was in decline for about 7 years, lost 430 people over a 7-year period, but didn't really notice it too much. You know, it was just kind of a slow kind of a process. And so when I got there, we began to talk about what we needed to do to reconnect to the community. The community had changed quite a bit. Dr. Graves was there. When he was there, it was a community church. But now people started moving out, and the demographics changed a lot. We're 46% non-white, and our church was about 95% white. Now we have about 80-20, so we're moving in the right direction, but we have a long ways to go. But through the things that we've learned there, I think we've learned what not to do more than what we've learned to do. But we're going to talk in just a few moments about some of the things we've tried to do to change that. Before we do, let me ask some of you, you know, who's here, who isn't here, who's been here for 10 years or more as a pastor? Who's been at your church for 10 years or more? All right, at your local church. All right. And who, 5 years or more? Uh-huh. And under 5 years you've been at your church. Oh, okay. So, and then Who's working, who's serving in a country setting? Rural area. All right? And who is serving in an urban area? Just a couple of you. And then how about suburban area? All right, so a lot of rural areas, right? All right, very good. So how about mission statements? Got a mission statement that you'd share with us, your mission statement? Yes? I'm sorry, say it again.
Love worth finding, love worth sharing. Love worth finding,
not fighting. Finding and love worth sharing. Yeah, you have both, huh?
We're a community of faith, striving to see lives transformed and avoid the followers of Christ.
Very good. All right, great. Anybody else?
Following Christ while connecting friends.
Following Christ while connecting friends. All right, good. We started with, somebody else have one? We started with a simple one, and it's this. It's reaching up to God through worship and prayer, reaching into each other through discipleship and fellowship, and reaching out to others through evangelism and mission. Now, not everybody knows the entire thing, but nearly everybody, including children and the janitor, know this much: reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. And it's part of our announcements, part of everything that we do. And there's a reason that we have it in that order. The reaching up is, it's a priority for us to have our own heart and life right. And before we can help other people, we need to make sure that we're right. The reaching in part was the next part, is you have to get healthy before you can start reaching out to other people. So the reaching out was the last part, and we can, you know, kind of argue that or whatever, but that was just our process that we saw was going to be helpful. If we began with God, then began with one another, do good to all, but especially those in the household of faith, right? And then begin to reach out. And so that's what we kind of did, is we needed to refocus on the health of the church. They were doing some wonderful things. Springdale's done some awesome things. There's been missionaries and pastors and GSs and DSs have come through there. They've been ascending church and had many, many ministries that were very effective for a long time. But time changes and things change, and so we kind of need to refocus, or we would have continued down that sliding path. So one of the ways of refocusing was to get healthy. And this whole idea of recapturing a vision for our community has to begin with us having a church that is prepared to reach out to people, right? And so there's two passages that were very important to us. One was 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is the Apostle Paul who is speaking to a young pastor, Timothy, okay? And the Apostle Paul says this: "Hey, all the people," at the end of chapter 1, "all the people in Asia that were with me, they've left me. They've abandoned me." So he's coming from this standpoint of, I've poured my life into people's, into their lives, and I have nothing to show for it. I'm reading between the lines, but that's kind of what he's saying. All these people have left me. So he's telling this younger guy coming through, learn from my mistakes, right? So all of them have left me, and so this is what he says: "I want you to go and teach people who in turn will teach others," right? So teach qualified people who will in turn teach others. It's kind of this idea of the difference between leading followers and leading leaders. So what we decided to do is we needed to start having a better leadership development program, and that began, there's lots of things with that. Part of that is a passages discipleship program that we do. But what I'm trying to say is that we wanted to be healthy. We needed to get healthy before we could help other people, right? In Acts chapter 3, you know the passage when Peter and John are standing at the gate and there's a beggar there and he's asking for money. And anybody remember what Peter says? "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus the Nazarene." And the principle of that, there's lots in there, I know, you can unpackage it, but the principle of that is you can't give what you don't have. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus the Nazarene." And we were at a situation as a church that we were trying to give what we don't have, and so we needed to get healthy, we needed to get strong, we needed to get biblical. And once we did, the natural outflow of that then began to be that we needed to reach out, right? Healthy things do grow. It doesn't. I have found out that the health of your church has nothing to do with the size of your church. You can be big and unhealthy, and you can be small and be healthy, right? And vice versa. So it's not the numbers that's going to matter, but it's the health of. But I do believe, can we agree that things that are healthy will grow? Right? That's the natural process of that. Right? The other passage is in Acts chapter 26. And Paul is talking about his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he said that Jesus told him this: "I want you to go to them and open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. So his idea here is this is not just about us. It's not just about you. But I want you to go to them, right? So who's them? I think in a church setting like this, it's our community. And in the Church of the Nazarene, we have the opportunity to go to 159, you know, areas, right? So it's not keeping it within the four walls, but spreading out and thinking outside of those four walls. So when Paul talked about in 2 Timothy that he wanted you to teach people who are qualified, who then in turn will teach others, he's talking about a multiplication process. Instead of, you know, 4 plus 4 is a lot different than 4 times 4, right? And so if you can teach people who in turn will teach people, then what begins to take place is this multiplication process. So, can't keep it to yourself. How do we get our churches to recapture a burden and desire to reach outside of its own walls? So throw out right now for us, if you would, some ideas that maybe you have used to get your church to capture this idea of reaching your community. What have you done that has worked? Or maybe if it's been a good lesson, what have you done that hasn't worked that we should be warned of? Yes?
We have a compassion ministry center at our church, and we feed 30,000 people, 175 tons of food a year.
Wonderful.
And so we have a very poor, right on the river,
okay,
community, and they're very good. I think it's the good poorest county in the state.
And how did you discover that ministry?
I discovered it by showing up at church one day and getting hired.
It was already going on.
It was going on. We just kind of tweaked some things. But,
okay.
There was enough people that know people, nurses and doctors,
okay,
in the area that just saw the need.
Good. Anybody else?
I think you've got to put a name to the face. We have something in West Carrollton. There's the Pirates, the school district of the Pirates. We have something called Pirate Packs, where they've identified about 80 students that leave on Friday. They come back on Monday and haven't eaten all weekend. So Pirate Packs, we just present to our congregation, there are real kids in the school next to our church that go home hungry. And so putting a name and a face in front of our folks makes it real to them. And so then they donate food to feed these kids over the weekend.
Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah.
Every fall on a Saturday before we change the clocks, we go around the neighborhood. We have 100 cards made up with a 9-volt battery attached to it. And we say, don't forget to change your clocks, and here's a battery for your smoke detector.
Cool.
We hand deliver them to 100 homes in the neighborhood. We do it every year. And then we take a handful of those closest to the church and Christmas carol for them right before Christmas time every year. So they're used to seeing us coming through, and we say we're from the church, we're not asking for anything, it's just, here it is.
Yeah, good, excellent. Nothing you're asking in return.
Right.
Just to give it. It's great. Anybody else?
Of course, it's been a big situation with us. We've had a lot of guys that come through softball, and when they sign up to play softball, they have to attend church like three Sundays throughout the season. So we've had several guys men that started out playing softball, got introduced to Jesus, and now they're part of our church.
Yeah, great.
We pass out free hot dogs at trick-or-treat night.
Okay.
Along with, like, candy and stuff.
Right. So aren't we, so far, we're just talking about finding out what the need is and then meeting that need, right? If we were missionaries, what would we do? We would parachute into our community, right? And we drop into our community, and we're going to start talking to the village leaders. We're going to start talking to the people and introducing ourselves, finding out what the need is. And we find out that the need is clean water. So we're going to go back to our church, and we're going to start a new Bible study. Isn't that how it works? I mean, quite often? That's not what missionaries do, right? Missionaries find out what the need is, and they, okay, it's clean water, let's start with that. But sometimes in North America churches, what we want to do is we just want them to come into our church, and we want them to participate in what we already have going on. So what I'm suggesting is that part of this reaching our community is first find out what the real need is. When I was down at Goodlettsville, we had a piece of property that was just, we just mowed it. We spent a lot of time and money mowing it. And so we were talking about what we might do there. Well, we thought we could put a baseball field in. But we have Moss Wright Park, which is just down the street. It's a great park. And they already have a nice facility there for all kinds of ball playing and all that kind of stuff. So we went to the city and said, hey, what do you need? We've got this piece of property. You know, is there something that you need? Well, what we really need are some soccer fields. We don't have enough soccer fields. That's a big deal. Is that a big deal in your areas right now? It wasn't when I was growing up, but it is now. It's a big deal. So that's what we put in, is a soccer field, so that we might be able to help meet the needs of the community. Our guys wanted to put in softball because that was for us, right? That's what we like to do. But it was going to be used much more efficiently for the community if we were to do something that way. So it's, again, it's just discovering what the community needs. When we were at East Flint, there was a church there that had a wonderful facility. We played softball there, and everybody in the church wanted to build a better one than what they had. And so the argument the whole time, well, why would we want to recreate something they're already doing? They're meeting a need. They're meeting the community. Let's use our property for something that maybe the community could use. So I want to talk about something that is not biblical, and yet it is biblical, because Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? So God gave us this unique thing in our brains that help us, I think, really plays a role in this idea of recapturing our community, our outreach community. So the word, the short version is RAS, this reticular activating system. And what it is, it's a group of cells at the bottom of our brains, okay? And this at the bottom of our brains, what it does is it filters the information that comes in, and it also regulates your sleep patterns. I don't want to talk about regulating your sleep patterns right now because I don't know anything about that. I know I didn't sleep very well last night, so maybe it wasn't working. But the other aspect of it is that we have so much stimulation that comes into our mind and into our brains that we can't comprehend it all. So the role of these cells at the bottom of your brain is to help you to filter the stuff that's non-essential. I could probably bet that none of you know where the fire extinguisher is in this building right now, because it's not important to you. You've walked by it, but it's not important to you. Now, if we had a fire in here last week, everybody would be looking this week as they're coming through here, right? The maintenance guy, he knows where the fire extinguishers are, okay? That's how the RAS works. Give you another example. Would be you bought a new car. And when you bought that new car, it seemed like everybody had the same car. Has that ever happened to you? You bought a white Nissan, and everywhere you go, there's a white Nissan. Now, did everybody follow your lead and buy the same car the same day? No. That's your RAS kicking in, because now all of a sudden, that's information that before went unnoticed. You never noticed the white Nissan. Now, everybody has a white Nissan. That's how the RAS works. So the way that this works then for us is, well, let me say this. So I needed a dry cleaners the other day. I've been to the church almost 4 years. I've never dry cleaned my clothes. Don't judge me. But I've never dry cleaned my clothes. And I need a dry cleaners. And when I went to the office one morning, I said, I need a dry cleaners. And Kate, our office worker, said, you drive by a dry cleaner every day, probably four times a day. Springdale dry cleaners just around the corner. I said, I've never seen it before. She said, you drive by it every day. I said, I've never seen it before. Where's that? She's trying to describe. And so I go in there, and sure enough, it's exactly where she said it was. Well, now, everywhere I go, I see dry cleaners. I went a whole week trying to find a dry cleaners, and now I see them everywhere I go. That's the RAS. Before, I didn't have a need for a dry cleaners, right? So how can this help us in this idea of reaching out to our community? It works like this. So we had a couple when people came to us. We have a buddy program at Springdale, and it's for anybody who has a child or an adult who has special needs, and it gives them kind of a break so they can come, and we take care of them as a one-on-one situation so the family member can worship. And so through this buddy program, we had somebody who had a special needs child said, hey, what if we had a talent show for special needs, and it would be children or adults or whatever. I said, that's a great idea. So we put a committee together, and we had this talent show. This happened about 2 months ago, and we had, there's only three from our church. The rest were all from the community. We have eight in our church, but the rest were all in our community that came in, and they sang, they danced, they did art. I mean, it was the neatest thing. We cried a lot that day. It was a beautiful day. But leading up to that, we started sharing with the church, hey, we're going to have this special needs, talent show. You can sign up online, yada, yada, yada. But we need to get the word out. And so if you know anybody, well, when I first made that comment, there were people who said, I don't know any special needs people, just the ones in the church. Well, suddenly people started coming to church saying, hey, I noticed a sign, a deaf sign in our neighborhood. Never noticed it before, but we have a deaf person in our neighborhood. And my kid goes to school with somebody. I noticed the bus stopped, and it was a special handicap accessible bus. And so I know right where that person lived. And so what it did is it kicked into this this RAS, right? Now all of a sudden they're noticing where these handicapped people are at, right? Or special needs, I'm sorry. We started a motorcycle ministry. We restarted a motorcycle ministry. We used to have one. And so we restarted that. And we started telling people, hey, we got this motorcycle ministry. It's Holy Thunder. And these guys are going to take the offering today, and so on and so forth. Well, now all of a sudden I have people coming up saying, I didn't know it, but my neighbor has a motorcycle. And, you know, here's his number, and so on and so forth. And I started noticing. Anybody ride motorcycles here? All right, so the guys who ride motorcycles, did you ride? Mm-hmm. You brought it here? You notice the other motorcycles around here?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you notice the other motorcycles? So did I. Some of you guys didn't even notice the motorcycles because it's not in your RAS, because it's just not, it's information you don't need. Now, if you ever rode a motorcycle, you need to know this, all right? So that's how this idea that we began in our church of reaching out to other people is communicating it from the platform, through the bulletin, on the website, communicating what it is we're doing, and doing it over and over and over again. And what it does is it highlights that in the minds of our people. Hey, come to think of it, we have motorcycle people as well, or we have special needs people, or basketball. Oh, I didn't know you had basketball. My neighbor plays basketball, right? So, thoughts, comments, and let me look at my notes, see what else we're going to say there. Just go ahead and yell out. Questions?
Do you follow up with someone who brings the person need, to you, let's say it's a biker or a special needs student? Do you follow up with that person who brought up the idea to get them involved in the ministry?
Yes, that's kind of the whole point of back to our 2 Timothy thing again, is the reproduction aspect of it. Don't just come to the... And you guys are all pastors, and you know how frustrating that is. They come to the pastor, want you to do it all, or, grandma is dying, and she's 90, and pastor, if you can get there before she dies and get her saved, that'd be great. They've had 90 years to work on this, and they want you to do it in 5 minutes. So we really try to get that back in, and they're the ones building the relationships with people, and relationships is what we're talking about here. It's harder to go. I did get my neighbor to come to the special needs thing. I walk in my neighborhood every day, and I noticed this kid one day. And so that was my interaction with him. We say, hey, we've got this talent show. And he came, and he did the happy dance. The happy dance? Because I'm happy, And I say kid. I thought he was a kid. He was 49 years old. He looked like, 18 to me. But anyhow, so when somebody comes to us, I usually will refer them to meet with our leader in that area to help them, whatever words they need to know or, whatever, however to announce it or promote it.
I think our local folks kind of offer the best from this RAS. We just don't know it. You guys have, at your church, do you have like a committee that meets, like when you start planning your whole year out, to say, hey, let's come together and let's start getting our RAS in here? Because, I'm in a position where I don't have all the greatest ideas, but the minute you put 10 people in a group with me, it's like boom, 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 bounce, 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 and suddenly there's all these ideas that no one ever thought about.
Yes.
Do you have a process that you do like that?
Yeah, what we do is, what we've done the last 2 years is we take our staff and we go away for 3 or 4 days and we plan out our sermons for the sermon series for the whole year. And with that come the themes. So in the summer, we want something that's going to kick into our Stricker's Grove event, which is an amusement park where anybody can bring anybody to it. It's a come and see kind of event. So we want to be doing some messages about family life and things like that leading up to that. So in that sense, yes, we do. I don't have that in a lay sense, except for the board as far as what we do there. But most of the planning is done through the staffing of it. And so that's where we try to hit on these things, these events. Yeah. And it is intentional But it's not something like you go, you know, I'm not suggesting you get up before your people and say, hey, I want to talk to you today about the reticular activating system. It's just the more you say it, it highlights something in their mind, right? And it makes it information that was previously unimportant, and now it is very important because they know the church is involved in some way. And this is, I could keep going, the Hispanic ministry that we have going on. I mean, suddenly people, hey, we have Hispanics, you know, that live across the street from us, things like that. Is it really just good promotion and market? I suppose it is. But what I'm trying to say is that God created us in a way that we can tap into that, how God has created us, to make it work, right? To pique people's interest. So we have some other ideas here, and I'll let you guys share some more of yours. We have, as a way of reaching out, we have AA meetings that meet in our... Anybody else use AA in your churches? Yeah. We meet a couple times a week. Thanksgiving meals, give out those. The soul pantry, similar to what you have over here. Food and clothing. For our staff meetings, once a month, we invite a pastor from the community. We've never used a Nazarene pastor. We will, but we haven't got through the rotation yet. But we invite pastors from our community to come and give devotions. And that has been such a rich time. And we're using a lot of African-American pastors that are in the area. It's given us just another viewpoint, and it's been really, really good. Is that outreach? No and yes. It's outreach in the sense of we're finding out what they're doing and what they're involved in. Some of them are involved in things in addition to their church. One guy heads up Cityside, and they're feeding people and all that, so we participated with them. We wouldn't have known about it except for we have this, you know, have this rotation of people coming in. Pictures for Mother's Day. Those of you who work in the inner city, this is a big thing. But we took pictures. We promoted it in the community, so we take free pictures for your family. A lot of people don't have family pictures. Yeah, they can do it, you know, with a phone or whatever. But I'm talking about a professional picture. We can put it on you know, good paper and so on. So we did that, including frames, and then we delivered them to their home. We didn't tell them to come get us. We got their address and everything, and then we delivered it to them their homes. We did it for Mother's Day, and that was really great. We had a good response from that. Chamber of Commerce, I already told you about. Police department came by our church the other day, and when he came in, Romano was his name, Officer Romano. He said, well, this is the second time. The first time they told me I couldn't set off firecrackers to get rid of our geese, but that's another story. The second time they came in, true story, the second time they came in, Officer Romano said, hey, I was told that Springdale does a lot of donations for events. Now, when's the last time somebody came to your church and said that? Usually, you know, churches are known for going to businesses and asking for things, right? Will you support our, you know, softball team? Will you, whatever? Well, we have this, we have a fund called 80 for 80, and it was to celebrate our 80th anniversary. And so it's just, you never want to use the word slush fund, and I wouldn't use that, but it's kind of a slush fund where we can use it. It's not budgeted for some specific thing. It is budgeted for anything ministry local. So it's not Faith Promise, and it's just local stuff. And so we've been able to give to a lot of things that are not in our budget. And so he came by, and we already gave money to the police department. He was coming by because they have a fund for fallen officers, and they were doing a bicycle ride, a 300-mile bicycle ride, and they were looking for donations and so on. So we gave them a donation. But just the fact that that word is getting out just in the last few years, that Springdale is a giving church, that they want to invest in their community, that's outreach, right? It's letting people know that we're not here so that, you know, they can just come to us, but we're willing to help them in some way. We had a police officer shooting 3 months ago, Glendale, Dr. Gray's in Glendale, really nice, uppity community, and it was all over the TV. He shot, you might have seen it, the guy had a knife, and there was a body cam, it was all over. And anyhow, that young guy was only an officer for 2 years, and man, he was just shook up, just terrible. All we did was, I brought donuts by one morning, just said, hey, I just want to pray for you guys, and I know this is kind of upsetting. They said, oh, it's really upsetting. We hadn't had a police shooting around here ever. And so it's just little things, just paying attention. It's the RAS, you know, it's just kicking in to say, hey, you know, there's some things going on here. We need to pay attention to it. We just did an oil change event. This isn't something you do on your own. We have a guy, he's called Mr. Godwrench, And when I heard it, I thought, oh, Jesus, this is kind of cheesy, you know. And so I've been hearing about this guy who's helped us with our soul pantry. And so I went by his place, and so when I got there, I'm like, this is the real deal. This guy used to be, he used to be on drugs, he used to be on alcohol, and so he started this little mechanics business. He's given away, at this point, 33 cars. People will donate cars, he fixes them up. We partner with him, we fix them up, we give the money and he fixes them up. And anyhow, so he did this oil change event. We partnered with him along with our Hispanic campus, and we changed 126 cars, their oil, on one Saturday, filled up all their fluids, filled their tire pressure, all of that kind of stuff. Man, I wish you could have been there to see the response of these people. You know, what do you want for them? You know, what? We don't want anything. You know, we didn't do it. All we did was put in there, this is complimentary of Mr. Godrinch and Springdale Church of Nazarene and SNC Hispanic, and it had the service times of the Hispanic, not even our English-speaking service, just the Hispanic. We just wanted, this is loving our community. And the result of that has already been an increase, especially in our African-Americans who've started coming to the church because they showed up that one day and somebody just reached out to them, right? Flint Water Project, we sent 9 24-foot Ryder trucks up to Flint. Anybody hear about the Flint Project? Well, you're right up there, right? What a mess. And so we had a partnership, and the community got involved with that. We thought it was going to be a church thing. But once we started promoting it, people from the community wanted to help, and they saw the church as a place that they could bring their water, and we would make sure it got shipped up there. So, all right, I've been doing all the talking. So tell me some ideas that you have or questions you might have, and then I'm going to turn it over to JJ here. Yes, sir.
Scaling this down from the church of 250 or 1,000 to a church of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas that will work for a smaller, yeah, lower income congregation.
Yeah, good question. I'll speak to that. Somebody else want to say it first, though? Somebody, yes?
We have the luxury of having a couple of low income apartments right next to the church and the school. And to promote our VBS, we go over there with hot dogs already cooked, put in bags, steamed, and just knock on the doors. The kids come out. You get to introduce yourself to the family, and they're the same thing. Why are you doing this? And it's just an invite for the VBS, and so they can see us, and you can do that on it. And we'll, somebody donate some dinners and buns, and you're out.
Right, right.
It takes about an hour.
Fill that in.
Care.
Cost nothing for what? What else? What was it?
A smile.
Smile.
Time.
Love. Time. Now, we could argue those. We could say that when you care, it costs a lot. Because, you know, I mean, you know how that can work. But it's true that just to go and knock on a door and say, I can remember at Bad Axe, same thing. I'm with you. I mean, at Bad Axe, you know, our budget was $30,000 so for the year. And somewhere I got paid somehow out of that too, and I thought I was rich. So, but we went around, and one of the things we did, we just went around with a list and said, hey, we're just going around finding out how we can pray for people. And do you have a prayer request that we can pray? Very few people said no. Almost everyone said, well, as a matter of fact. And we're just showing that we care, right? So it doesn't have to be, you know, the dollars and all that kind of stuff. It's just showing people that you care, showing people that you love. Yeah, good. Yes?
Our church is next park, and the 4th of July, the community spectacular event is just at the park. And so we open up our church for bathrooms, and we pass out water. Or we decorate our cars, and when the hayride gets to our church, they stop and we pass out candy.
Ah, yeah. Good. Church of the Nazarene, on their website, nazarene.org, has a great resource. Any of you ever looked at the demographics? It's research and development. Look that up. At nazarene.org, under research and development, they have demographics there, and you can look up your church. You can look up all your statistics from your church over the last 10 or 15 years. And then you can also look at the demographics of the community, and it's, I mean, very, very detailed. Like, how far people drive to work from in your area, from your zip code, whatever, and to the racial division, to income, single homes, apartments, you name it. I mean, it's all in there. And demographics would be very important to the first part of our discussion this afternoon, which was finding your need, right? What are the needs that are out there? You don't want to start a, I don't know. You wouldn't want to start a singles ministry if you have one single in your entire community, right? So, but if you go to the demographics and you find out that, 75% are 60 years old and older, I would say you got a real opportunity there, right, for a ministry for 55 plus or, prime timers. So, all right, other thoughts? You know how to catch a monkey? You know how to catch a monkey? Didn't know you were going to learn this at PelCon 2016, did you? So you catch a monkey, you got to YouTube this. It's kind of, it's interesting and disgusting at the same time. But so you get a log and you drill out a hole that's just a little bigger than their hand. And you put food in there. And when the monkey goes in there, he can't resist. And he grabs that food, but he doesn't know enough to let go. So he just stays there. And if you YouTube it, they squeal. And I mean, it's kind of disgusting. But the reason I'm saying that is that the love of God is irresistible. And I could tell you story after story of people like a Steve Hanna who came to play softball just to fill in one day for softball. He enjoyed playing with our guys. He did that for a year. Last year he came back, wanted to play again. Same thing. He knew he needed to come to church. He got saved in my office. Since that time now, he's been baptized. He was part of my small group last summer. And he's inviting people to come to church to play softball, right? Because he couldn't resist love that was shown to him. Nobody beat him over the head. Nobody, even shared any scriptures to him early on. They were just kind to Stephen. And Stephen kept coming back and kept coming back, kept coming back. And then he went through a divorce or a separation, it started as. Went through a separation, and suddenly God used that to get a hold of him, and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, all because he couldn't resist it. So the food, if you use the analogy there, the food is the love of Christ, and his love compels us to go out and reach other people, and his love will be, you can't resist that, right? And the longer you do it over and over again, this is a longer process. This is not a sprint, this is a marathon. Keep doing the right thing over and over and over again, and good things will begin to happen. The church gets healthier, and people begin to come. Other thoughts, and I turn it over to JJ. Sorry for doing all the talking, JJ.
I think that one of the best things to keep the church healthy is to keep your church busy and get them back out in the community to do whatever they can dream up or think of.
Yeah.
Also keep them focused outside and not what we're doing wrong.
Yeah. Dr. Graves said something yesterday that I think is worth repeating. And that is that, when's the last time you had a conversation with someone about the gospel? If we're not modeling that, they're not going to do it. People aren't going to do it. But if we're modeling it and we're talking about it, so a few years ago when I was in Goodlettsville, our neighbors, Ken and Michelle, great people. They went to Long Hollow Baptist Church, big mega church. And they were good friends of ours, just as neighbors. And he used to travel sometimes for his work. And so when he was gone, I would just mow his lawn. Never asked him about it, never said anything about it. He never thanked me for it. It was just, he just could tell, I guess, by the lines that I'd done it. So one day, he's outside, and he said, "Hey, Daryl, come here." So I went over there, and he said, "Hey, there's some people, they're friends of ours, and they're going to be at your church this Sunday." He said, "They're looking for a church," and I told him about your church. And I said, "Well, thanks." I said, "Well, why didn't you invite them to your own church?" He said, "My pastor's never mowed my lawn before." Now, that he had never said anything to me about that prior to that. It goes back to what I was saying. It doesn't cost anything just to love, just to show. I shared that at Goodlettsville from the pulpit, and suddenly I had all these other people in my church mowing their neighbors' lawns when they're gone on vacation. So it's leading by example, not what I say, but what I do. And when you, and it's not, you know, I know there's a fine line between not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing and letting your light shine before all men so that, that people will see your good deeds. It's a fine line. You got to know the motivation of your heart, right? But if the motivation is you want to reach lost people, then it's okay to do something and say, this is what the result of me doing that was, okay? Now, if you're just doing it to puff yourself up or whatever, God will knock your knees out from under you and so, but... all right, so go mow somebody's lawn, okay, and make a difference, and help the church grow. Don't get in the way. Sometimes I think we get in the way as pastors of the church growing. We need to just get out one by one. Dr. Graves, I have probably 100 or 200 people at Springdale that were some way influenced by sport ministries, and today they're leaders, the David Ralphs and them, all because Dr. Graves, they were neighbors of his, and he had them come and play basketball with them, and the boys helped with that whole thing too. But it's just that one-on-one interaction, and then telling people about it from the pulpit. You know, hey, this is what's going on. These are the people we're introducing. So, in a smaller church, back to your comment, when we were at Bad Axe, when we had people that were visiting after three or four times, we had a segment that we called Get to Know You. And so before I would preach, I would go up and just say, hey, this is Bob and Jan, and they've been coming here a few weeks, and Bob and Jan, come on up here just a minute. So we asked them a few questions and so on. And it was beautiful for some. I can't do that right now, but it was beautiful in a smaller setting like that. So they felt included, felt loved, and those are the people who continue to come. The other ones kind of fell through the, you know, out the back door. So, JJ, come on up. I guess, do I need to give you this then if you're going to do the rest of the talk? I'll give it to you. Well,
oh boy. Well, part of my role is to help facilitate a little bit of discussion at the end of our time. So I'll share a little story with you, and then maybe you'll have a few more questions to ask our presenter. And maybe you can share some ideas here with each other as far as some things that you can do to recapture a vision for your community. But he mentioned right at the beginning of the presentation about our situation at our church. I've been the pastor there for 8 months, and so I'm still getting my feet on the floor, learning, you know, about, you know, the patterns and ministries of the congregation. And so one of the things that I did, you know, just kind of getting my feet on the floor, is start asking people about what makes us unique in our community. How can God use us to go into our community to meet needs in the lives of the people around us, as our part in following the model of Jesus and doing that, meeting a physical need so that he can in turn meet a spiritual need. And I'll never forget the conversation that I was having with several of our leaders, and I asked that question, you know, what are some of the needs that we can go and meet? And the leader said, you're asking us to meet needs in our community. To be honest, Pastor, we don't even know who our community is. And so I shifted gears a little bit after that and went to Acts 1:8, where it says, and the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. So I started asking the question, who is our Jerusalem? And so we're in that process right now where we're trying to figure out who the people around us are. Now, we have a unique situation in our church where we house a child care in our church. There's about 150 kids that are in this child care, somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 people on our staff. And it hit me one day that I'm the pastor of this church. I've been here for about 3 months, and I don't even know the people who work for the church, because I hadn't had a chance to really get around and meet all these child care workers. And so I just made an effort to start in getting to know people. And the way I did it, it's just my approach, and it's working for me. But I went to a little ice cream store called Grater's. Have you ever been to Grater's?
Oh, yeah.
Now, down south, it's Brahms. Anybody know about Brahms? Okay, Brahms is, yeah. But here in this area, it's Grater's. So I went to Grater's, and I picked up somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 gift cards, $5 gift cards. And I just started taking them around to the child care workers and say, hey, I want you to know we love you and we appreciate you. And I want to give you a gift card and to Grater's so you can go treat yourself to some ice cream. And And then I started asking him, I said, by the way, I'd like to have an opportunity to maybe just pray for you. Is there anything that I can pray for? And you'd be amazed at some of the people. I mean, just meeting me for the first time, the way they would open up and share their story and gave me a little bit more of a sense of who they were and the things they were dealing with. I found out this one gal, her mom was in the hospital and dealing with some serious, serious physical issues, and another person, they were struggling in their family, and so, you know, God gave me a heart for those needs, and I was able to point people in that direction to help get into their lives and start supporting them with the love of Jesus Christ. So the question I have been asking myself is, in what ways can I, being new in this community, in what ways can I get to know my community? Maybe that'd be a good question if you had some ideas, or someone else may have an idea. You know, in what ways can we get to know the people around us so that we can reach into their lives with the love of Jesus Christ? Any ideas, thoughts?
I found that walking the neighborhood is good because you see things you don't get when you drive mm-hmm. around.
Mm-hmm.
Walk around, look in people's yards, see, look for children's toys and whatever. Sometimes it's not good to mow a lawn, maybe. But walking, you see a whole lot more than just driving around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good, yeah. Anyone else?
I started volunteering at the school cafeteria,
mm-hmm.
and I've got all these preteen girls
mm-hmm.
that just live within a few blocks of me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really trying to get some kind of a ministry going with them.
Mm-hmm. Good, yeah. Anyone else?
One of the things that I've done, and it started by sort of by accident. The second church I went into, I always get the membership list. And I figured if they weren't coming to the church, I could go visit them. They're already Nazarenes. They already know what we believe. It's a whole lot easier to get them involved. Well, the second church, I went after the fire chief. And instead of him coming to my church, I ended up becoming a fireman. And an EMT, and you know. But it opened up a door ministry to men and women that are volunteers. They don't get paid to go into a burning building.
Mm-hmm.
And every place that I've gone, every church that I've been ever since, I always look at the fire department. And men and women that they give their lives
mm-hmm.
for the community. And it opens up a door of ministry like mm-hmm. you never believe. You talk about stress. You think ministers have stress. Some of the things that we've seen and I've seen in the fire department,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't want anybody to see. And they just need to talk to
mm-hmm. I think there's a special week for just about anyone in any field now. They have Teacher Appreciation Week. They have First Responders Appreciation, Police Appreciation. Just I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago was the Police Appreciation Week, and so we've got those on our church calendar, those Appreciation Weeks on our church calendar, so that we can remember, you know, what's coming up, and we make some cookies, take it out to the, there's a police station about a block from our church, so we'll take some cookies over there and
take them donuts,
and we're doing that in our child care. You know, we're doing things like donuts for dads, and a bunch of people will cook cookies and bring them to the child care. And as people are walking in the building, you know, people we don't really know, you know, but we're getting to know them because they're walking into the building, and we're giving them cookies and learning a little bit about who they are, so that we can better reach into their lives. And here's something that's just on my heart is learning people's names. I think somebody back here mentioned that earlier. Just knowing people's names. You know, I'm JJ. Now, you're Matthew, so now I've made a new friend, but there's a connection here that we didn't have before, because now I know Matthew's name, and so that's become important to me, is starting to learn a name, which is extremely difficult for me, because I'm very bad at remembering names, but on visitors that come on Sunday morning, I have a hard time with that, so when they're not looking, I'll pull out my cell phone, snap their picture real quick, stick it back in, so I can remember who they are, but anyway.
What you were talking about, daycare, a church that I used to go to, during vacation Bible school week, the church cooked a meal and served a meal, so mm-hmm. the kids that were in the daycare who wanted to stay for Vacation Bible School would have an evening meal mm-hmm. and then could stay and go to Vacation mm-hmm. Bible School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good, cool. good. Yeah, those things help us to capture, recapture our heart for our area for sure. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
There's a new program in my community. It's called TNT Till Next Time.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the schools and mentor kids,
mm-hmm.
and they're recommended by the counselors or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just 1 hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we form a bond
mm-hmm.
with the school.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It costs nothing. It's not yeah. spend money on the kid. But then they come together, we play shuffleboard, we've got pizza party,
mm-hmm.
and we're invited to their school functions.
Mm-hmm. I have a call in. I haven't been able to call this person back, but I'm learning about a program now that they have in a lot of communities where they're allowing church people to come in and mentor children. So I don't know what that's called. I wish I did so I could give you the information, but I'm just learning about it. What is it?
Kids Hope USA.
Kids Hope USA. I believe that is what it is. So, yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah.
So at what point do you take ministry? We have a Christ Pondo ministry, and we it's free to the community, and then at the same time we provide one meal for them, and they're in the community praying. But at what point do you invite them into the church and make them feel like, hey, we would like for you to be a part of us? Now, I know some of them go to other churches, but I mean, what risk do we take in that?
You want to try?
Yeah, you know, like with Steve, he only came to play softball, but then once he had a problem, you know, this was his church, which, yeah, I think AA, Boy Scouts of America, homeschool groups, all those things that we have in our church, we look at it as an opportunity to get people in our doors. So someday they're going to need somebody to bury their loved one. They're going to need someone to marry them. They go through a crisis. So we don't have to press that, although I do think we need to have spiritual eyes to see, you know, we've had a concern about our basketball program right now. I think it's just fun, and that's about it. You know, I don't feel like there's a lot of ministry that's going on there. So we feel like there's a balance there between just opening the door for anybody to come through and having some kind of influence to say there's a reason why this church is different than going down the school, you know. But I think we'd have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide that so that you're not pushing too fast, but neither do you want to lag behind, you know. Maybe a come-and-see event for the church, you know, friend days or... you know, following like a basketball league or a soccer league, you know, hey, we want to honor all the kids. We're going to have them up on, you know, up on the stage or whatever. It kind of gives them a reason to come. And we usually see a uptick after like a baby day or something like that because people have come, or graduation day. They come for the few weeks afterwards at least, so we can start, you know, building some relationships with them because they, you know, a seed was planted and we're trying to water it.
One of the things that we're trying to do in our church that may be helpful is, we've realized that people will a lot of times, they'll first set foot in your home before they'll go to the church. And so we're trying to be intentional about inviting people into our homes. And we've had a lot of conversations centered around that. You know, people that go to the Taekwondo, they might, you know, be a little nervous about going to church, especially if they haven't had any church experience. And so... get to know them, and then perhaps invite them into your home and invite a couple other families to come join so that they can get to know this person and start developing a relationship with them. We're really trying to emphasize this home ministry piece in our church, getting people into our homes so that we can get to know them better. And that happens also in the lobby of church on Sunday morning. So you'll have a visitor that'll come in, and so it's hard to get to know somebody on Sunday. It just is. And so you get acquainted, and then you start thinking, well, how can I get this person to maybe go out and lunch or something and get some other people to go with us so they'll get to know them. What's some other?
Potlucks.
Hmm?
Second Sunday of
potlucks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't even
fool
to sign up
to get
anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's famous for the
Anything else? So we got about 3 minutes, and I have one more question. Maybe you can wrap up with this. One of the things that we're working on in our church is inspiring people to, or motivating people to participate in the ministry of the church. I've hung on to what Henry Blackaby said back in his book, Experiencing God. Has anybody read Experiencing God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff. He said the thing to do is find out what God is doing and then join in. And so one of the things that we're trying to do better at in our church is communicating what God is doing, sharing our story, the results of everyone's effort together, and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. You got some tips you might be able to share with us, and maybe closing, and then our time will be up at that point. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it's maybe the spiritual aspect of it, but I think that finding out what their passions are and then letting them loose. One of the things that I get a little frustrated at is everybody thinks the church should be doing everything. You know, so they have an idea, they come to you and want you to figure it out and you to budget it and all that. So I think we did better at Goodlettsville than we're doing right now at Springdale, but what we did there was we just started setting people free to say, hey, we will join with you to do, like we did with Tim with the oil change thing. We'll join with you. That's Tim's passion. I don't, you know, I can fill the washer fluid thing, you know, in the car. That was my job on Saturday. The other stuff, I don't know how to do all that. But we had a 5K that we did because we had some people that ran 5Ks, and I saw on Facebook that that was a big deal. And so I contacted one of the girls, said, why don't you do a 5K? Well, we couldn't do that, could we? Yeah, we could start at the church and so on. So we got with the Goodlettsville Police Department. They organized the layout for the race. And we had 78 people from the community just come and run. Scrapbooking sounds like, I mean, that sounds awful to me. But Cindy Clark, who you guys know, Cindy Clark loves scrapbooking. And so she did a ministry, and it was a ministry. And at first I'm like, yeah, you want to use the building, you know, whatever. And I mean, it was the neatest thing. We got people in the church because of scrapbooking. And then now she does, if she still does it, I think she does, a camp, like an overnight, and they go all night long, they scrapbook. Doesn't that sound terrible? Had another lady who, she was newly married, and she met her husband while speed dating. And so she thought it was so successful, she came up with this speed friending. And again, sounds like the worst thing in the world to me, but the girls, the women's ministries, did a speed friending thing. And I was there that day up in the balcony of, not balcony, but the walking track of our church. And I am laughing my head off, but every 3 minutes or whatever it was, a bell rang, and they switched people, you know, all the way down. And these girls are cackling, and it was the best thing we'd ever done for women's ministries, you know. Well, the next time we did it, people invited their friends, not just church people, they invited their friend, hey, come, meet a new friend. And so there's things out there that you and I wouldn't think about, but people are just interested in stuff, you know, riding bicycles, they're right, you know, racing those, karate, you know, we've hosted karate events and stuff at Springdale and at Nashville. So what I'm trying to, you know, to get people to piggyback on what you like just doesn't work. You know, I don't want to go to the scrapbooking, right? And you can't convince me to do that. So for us as pastors to get up there and think that just everything we're excited about, everyone's going to join in, it's not going to work. But if you can find out their passion and say, hey, have you ever thought about, right? Follow that passion up with, have you ever thought about, doing a race? Have you ever thought about, you know, getting a team together? Have you ever thought about, and involve them. Then they're going to take more ownership with it. If they don't have skin in the game, then it's always your vision, it's always your idea. But you can get them to have skin in the game, you know, I think that's when you start seeing that multiplication thing take place. So I don't know if that helped or not. But.
That's great.
Hey, can I pray for us? Yeah, go ahead. Somebody has a question? No? All right, let me pray for us. And let's pray for the ones that decided to fool around golf today, okay, instead of you spiritual people. Father, I just thank you for each one that's here today. And we want to reach people for you. And we see what a change you made in our own lives and how you fixed our own messes and how you fixed our families. We get a front row seat on watching you reconcile people. And that motivates us to to see more of that. And so we want you to judge our and to evaluate our desires. We don't want to build big churches. We want to build the kingdom of God. And in a selfish way, I guess I'm just saying we want to be part of that. We want to be in on what you're doing. And so help us to be faithful with the leading of the Spirit, to go in places that we probably never really dreamed that we would go, and be involved in various types of ministries that are so outside of the box, not just because they're outside of the box, not just for the sake of that, but just so that we can meet people where they are. And I can't think of too many things that wouldn't really be called ministry in that sense, if it means the motivation was to bring people to a relationship with you. So help us to be effective in that, and forgive us for our lack of involvement in the areas we should be involved in. I pray for our churches. I pray for protection over each life that's here today, protection over their temptations. And we pray, Lord, that the rest of this event this week will continue to equip us and motivate us and inspire us. We pray for our leaders, for those who, when we go to bed, that long after we're to bed, they're still planning and strategizing for the rest of this week. We pray for strength for them and for those who serve us this week. We're used to being on the serving end, but those who serve us, we are grateful for them, and we pray you'd honor them. In Jesus' name, amen.